but also tried to take a drink an energy drink earlier and then drink some coffee to kind of counterbalance things. So I may speak a little fast at times and speak a little slow at other times, but if I start falling over, just end the service, I guess. Pray for me. I wasn't sure what I'd speak about tonight. You know, Brother Rodney had given me, you know, or asked me to speak, you know, a couple months back, and this whole time I thought, well, eventually it'll come to me, you know, whatever it is. And of course, the thing that I do the most, or at least that's been in focus the most lately, is how much I work all the time. I'm working day and night, a million things going on, it never ends. And most of that's my doing. I'm not blaming anyone else. I've always enjoyed working, even as a kid. I used to build the fences around our house, you know, and mow neighbor's grass, mow our own grass. Worked with my uncles doing roof jobs. You know, they were roofers and construction and all that before I was a teenager. You know, I wanted to make money. I wanted to do things that were good, that I could earn money, feel independent, but also I just enjoyed working with my hands. So it's hard for me to say no when I know there's things that I could do versus hiring them out to someone else. Right now we're having a contractor do electrical work because we had that tree fall on our house a month or two ago, and as soon as I signed the contract for them to do it, I started regretting it because, you know, they're not going to do the same things that you would do, or at least hold to the same standard. You know, when they tell you, which they told me, hey, I'll see you at 8 in the morning. I'm out there at 8 in the morning waiting for him, and he's not there. You know, and I see him at 9:30. You know, that's time wasted. You know, and so it's always, and there's other things too that I can complain about with that contractor. I'm still trying to talk to his manager to get things done. But I've always just enjoyed working with my hands, doing what I can, because, you know, God blessed me with, I mean, I'm not perfect in anything. I like to learn and do things, but I'm scatterbrained when it comes to, that looks like something I can figure out. I'm going to go ahead and figure it out and do it. It's going to save us money, so that's going to be better for our family. I'm going to learn a new trade, get some new tools, and it'll still be cheaper than hiring someone else. So it's a win-win all around, except for my time and my energy. But I've always enjoyed working hard. That's something that God has given me. When we moved here a few years ago from Washington, we're living in Washington because Ashley's from Washington. I was stationed up there. And so we moved back. She wanted to finish her degree. I got a degree in real estate, and we ended up being up there for, I don't know, eight years or so. And so I was working with a real estate firm. The majority of the time I was with the same firm. And they knew I was moving down. They asked me, hey, you know, when the time comes, we'd like to expand, starting to expand across the country. Would you like to help us expand and open it up in Tennessee and run the operations in Tennessee? I didn't know what that really entailed. I'm like, but that sounded like a good opportunity. I didn't want to pass up. I'm no, you know, guru. I'm no, you know, I'm not going to be on The Apprentice or anything like that anytime soon. But they knew me. They knew that I wasn't, you know, scandalous, or at least they haven't caught me with anything, you know. So they asked me to do that. I was honored, and of course I said yes. I couldn't turn it down. And so the whole time when I was in Washington, the majority of the time I was licensed, I was also teaching real estate. I had to get a separate professional license to do that. You have to be a real estate broker for, I think, 4 or 5 years before you can do that. But I was teaching for several years, and even moving down here after COVID, we went online. So that was a blessing in itself, where I didn't have to teach in person. I was still able to teach for Washington State by being in Tennessee. And so the instructor, the guy who owned the school this last fall, asked me, hey, I've been doing this for 40-something years. I'd like to kind of hang up my hat and go, you know, drive around and travel with my wife. Would you be interested in buying the school from me and taking it over? And there's another thing, I couldn't say no. You know, this is an opportunity that God has placed in front of me that, you know, would be good for the family. A lot of work, but I knew eventually it would pay off. And so, of course, I said yes and was honored and grateful for that, too. But again, running any business, if you run a business before, it takes a lot of time and effort. You know, they say someone who's self-employed works twice as much to get paid half as much, but you know, you're working for yourself, you know, so you feel good about it, you know what I'm talking about. It's not as glamorous as it, you know, it's made out to be, but it gives me that flexibility, and God has given me the opportunity to be able to do these things almost all from home and be there for our kid. And Lord willing, it continues this way so I can homeschool Theodore, and if we're blessed with any other kids, to do that as well. These things, you know, I haven't paid that school off yet, so don't ask me for any money. You know, it's going to be a few years before we're profitable. I asked them, I had to make sure we could buy it on a payment plan. Working all this time in various businesses has been something that I just couldn't turn down. Opportunities, whether it is something like that is long term, or something where my neighbor asks for my help and says, "Hey, you know, can you help me cut down this tree?" You know, for me, it's like, do I want to? Do I have the free time to do it? Not really, but I know he needs help. So yes, I'm going to do it, and you know, I know that that's a good thing, and so I try not to. It's, you know, we're human, but sometimes you get upset and you say, well, not this guy again asking me for help. You know, you have to always remember, you know, God has provided us the opportunities, the strength, maybe the tools, whatever it is, to do that, and we've got to figure out how to fit it in with what we're doing. But I'm constantly adding to my list. It's constantly growing. It's never shrunk since I was a kid. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger. And I feel bad for Ashley. I test her patience constantly because I'm promising, you know, her something that, like, hey, don't worry, I'll get that bathroom done by this month. You know, and the bathroom's still not done. That's been a couple of years. It's still up there, gutted, because I'm continually adding to it. And like I mentioned with Brother Rodney, he asked me, you know, if I could speak, and I said, well, you know, I can't say no. You know, even though it's not something that, one, the time thing, but two, you know, as much as I teach real estate, I don't really enjoy. I wouldn't say teaching per se, but speaking in front of people, or especially in church. You know, even though I play piano or play guitar and sing, like I enjoy doing it for the Lord, but at the same time, it's being up here. You know, everyone probably thinks people who are up here all the time or have their life together, they're, you know, perfect or goody two shoes or whatever. It's like, you know, no, we're struggling just as bad as you are. We're trying to serve God where we can, and so. I lost my train of thought there. That's the medication. Oh, Brother Rodney. So even when he asked me to talk up here, to ramble on, he told me the dates that were available. He said, hey, you know, June and July. And I picked one of the last dates available because I'm so busy. I figured, well, you know, I got to prioritize the things I have to do now. I'll still say yes, but I'll, you know, push it out as far as I can because I've got so much to do. And I remember my grandmother telling me at some point when I was younger, as I was telling her all of the grand schemes I had going on of this, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And she just smiled at me, and she's like, well, I'm glad that you're ambitious. You know, I'm happy that you have goals. Sometimes I think about my grandma saying that to me and just try to reflect on, you know, am I being too ambitious with what I want to do, you know, and versus what God wants me to do? You know, where's the balance at? Where, you know, how am I supposed to understand or know if I'm doing too much of building fences for goats? That's like even today, I was out there, I'm like, well, the medication's helping me feel better, so I'm out there building a fence because the goats keep getting out and eating Ashley's roses. So it's really hard to stop working, but thinking about, am I doing too much, you know, things that are not really building the kingdom, you know, is that taking up too much of my life? So what does God say about working hard? We'll look right at the beginning in Genesis. I apologize, I didn't give any slides or anything because of my last minute Larry ethos. You know, I printed these off today, right before we left, actually. So, you know, I'm glad my printer worked. I had to restart it, start to sweat. Didn't think it was going to work. But in Genesis, right at the beginning, Genesis 2, verse 15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work and take care of it. So even in paradise, when it was perfect, God gave Adam meaningful work to do. He gave him responsibilities to take care of the garden, to tend to it. So work, some people think of work as punishment. It's because of the fall we have to toil, and you know, there are parts to that, but work itself is not punishment. It's really a gift. It's a gift from God. It helps us to, one, express our own creativity, to have some kind of stewardship, to take on responsibilities, to be obedient to God with what He's given us and what He's put before us, and it helps shape us. In Proverbs 12, verse 11, and these are all, at least I believe so, that's, my eyes are blurry, and these are all, I believe, from the English Standard Version, so it may sound a little different from the King James. I know I was raised in King James, but it's a little harder to understand unless you're from the Elizabethan period, I suppose. So Proverbs 12:11, whoever works his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits lacks sense. Proverbs 13:4, the soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied. And I apologize, I'm going to run through a few randomly here, so it might be hard to keep up. But Proverbs 14:23, in all toil there is profit, but mere talk tends only to poverty. So Solomon, with his wisdom, was trying to let us know that diligence is honored. God delights in the commitments of our labor. A couple other verses. I mean, there's tons of verses about work in the Bible. I won't go through all of them, but... Second Thessalonians 3:10-12. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command: if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. And here's one of my favorites about work is, it is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of their crops. Right. So the Bible says that when we work hard with whatever we're doing, we're honoring God, we're worshiping the Lord. Even if it's a secular job or something that's not directly involved in church, we're to commit ourselves to the Lord. And that brings me to the next verse here, Proverbs 16:3. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. And I've read that the word commit in Hebrew means to roll, literally to roll, like we're rolling those that whatever we're doing to God. We're essentially asking God to help us, and we're completely trusting that He will, that He will work with us and work through us and help us complete that task that we're asking Him, that we're rolling onto Him, that we're committing to Him. And most things that I personally take on, like I've said, it's hard for me to say no, because I want to do as much as I can. I know this life is short, so I try to do as much as I can to help and do where I can, not only for our family, but for anyone else in need, you know, trying to do that. I get anxiety. I get anxiety every time I say yes to something, whether it's something that I'm taking on personally or someone else asks me for help. I worry that I'm going to fail, either myself, my family, them, God especially. That's part of human nature. But the Holy Spirit reminds us in Peter 5:7, cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. And that's part of the committing what we're doing to God, committing all of our works, committing our everything to God, because He cares for us. We know that even if we're worried about something, we need to pray to God and say, you know, Lord, help me with this. I commit this to you. This is, I trust you that you'll help see me through this. Ashley encouraged me sometimes and tells other people in front of me. I don't know if she's just trying to get me to finish the jobs or what, but she's always, when she talks about something, she says, well, he's got a lot going on, but whatever he says he's going to do, he eventually gets it done. Eventually it happens. And that makes me feel good because I don't want to, promise something and not deliver. I don't want to, that's lying. But that only way I can do any of those things is through God. God helping me out, praying to him, knowing that it's because of him. He's given me the strength, the wisdom, the clarity to think through whatever problem it is to get through that. But does that mean that we could do work as much as we want in our own personal endeavors, as much as we want, just amass as much riches and just enjoy it ourselves? And I think we all know that that's not something that God would want us to do. God entrusts us to help others, as we've said. But there's plenty of parables that Jesus taught as well about being responsible with what God's given us. And I'm sure you know them. I'm not going to read through all of Jesus' parables. The parable of the rich fool is something I wrote down about having bigger barns. I like barns. I'm going to be building one. And, he wanted to continually build more barns and then live a life of ease. And God said, no, that's, you're being greedy. It's too much. You're only thinking about yourself. And so he took his life. When we work, it's not just to help us, right? As I just said, it's not just to help our family or our own, but that's part of it. So we'll look at Romans 15, 1 and 2. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good to build him up. A verse like that, it reminds me, yes, my neighbor can be annoying sometimes. He's very needy, but he lives alone. He's older. He's got a bad back, God tells us, he commands us, that we have obligation to help those in need out, especially our neighbors and those around us that we can affect. Ephesians 4:28, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. And that doesn't just apply to a thief. That's to all of us to think about. Yes, we should work diligently so that we can help those out. If someone we see has a need, we're able to do that. And I know a lot of people close to me who, we all come up with excuses, who, can say something, well, I'm waiting for the right job. I'm waiting, to do this before I can have money. And they don't end up having a job ever. They just kind of string along. And, that's not following God's command of wherever you can work, you can be the one that can help someone else out in need next to you, instead of being the one who is relying on everyone else. 1 Timothy 5:8, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So God speaks pretty strongly about us not working just for ourselves, but helping those around us, doing what we can, and not just the bare minimum to get us by. Another reason, a big reason that we work, the main reason I should say, is to serve the Lord. As I've already said, committing ourselves and committing our work to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You're serving the Lord Christ. So he received not only a call to work hard, but encouragement to dedicate our efforts to the Lord himself. Deuteronomy 15:10, says, you shall give to him freely, and your heart shall not be grudging when you give to him, because for this the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in all that you undertake. And a lot of times that verse is kind of funneled to just tithing, but it really kind of relates to everything that we are striving for to give to God. You know, and I've heard someone tell me years ago that they don't tithe at all money-wise. They say, well, I labor for the church. And I'm like, well, I'm no scholar, but I mean, that sounds like they didn't have a lot of money, so this is what they can do. You know, they're helping with the gifts that God's given them. So to me, that made sense. Whatever God has entrusted in you, and it speaks about that in other verses as well. I know in Corinthians as well, but let me see where I'm at. When we commit everything to the Lord, we grow, we develop perseverance, character, and skills. And in Romans 5, 3, and 4, Paul reminds us, suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And so we know that work can be really difficult, but in those challenges, God uses that difficulty. He works through it with us and helps shape us. When I was deployed in the Middle East and throughout my whole time in the Air Force, that made me many times question why me at 17 signed up for the military. You know, there was some times that just seemed like time stood still. You know, when I was deployed, you know, we were in the middle of nowhere, and it was kind of like a prison. You know, you don't see anyone other than the people who want to kill you, and you know, and you're just there. You're just there existing and doing, you know, what needs to be done. But those times that God, you know, puts in your life, those difficulties, sometimes there's good times that provide difficulties in those same situations. God uses those to shape us. And that whole time in the military, especially when I was deployed, and it seemed like every day lasted a week, God gave me and helped me grow my patience more than anything. You know, so now sometimes, you know, especially when I was living in Seattle, we were stuck in traffic. You'd be in traffic for hours, you know, and it could drive you crazy if you let it. But I just kind of put on that zombie mode of that I was so used to in the desert and in the military, and where, you know, you just can't be impatient. You've got to just think and relax, take a breath, and trust that God will open the freeway up or whatever the obstacle is, that God's going to take care of it. He knows what needs to be done. We don't. We don't know if there's an accident, if someone, you know, lost their life down the freeway, or if it's somebody protesting and blocking the road. We don't know, but God knows, and it's not up to us to worry about. God says don't worry about anything. 1 Peter 4:10, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. In 1 Corinthians 12, the whole chapter says similar things. It talks about all of us having our own gifts, our own parts. When we look at, yes, we have, most of us have secular jobs. You know, most of us aren't employed by Hardin Valley Free Will Baptist or other community churches. You know, that would be cool if we had, you know, such a big church where we could just all work here, and but that's not how, you know, most pastors don't even live off their salaries these days. You know, most of them are part-time somewhere else, and that's just how it is. You know, we have to do what we need to do, and where we can serve in the church. God has given us all gifts, whether it's someone, you know, saying hi and welcome and talking to you at the door, someone cleaning, some, you know, there's a million things that need to be done in church and that should be done, and God has given us all time and ability and skills to do those things. And so whether we're, you know, completely in secular jobs and nothing in the church, whether we're mowing grass, household chores, you know, if that's all you're doing is staying at home, and that's a lot to do, is working at home. That's a full-time job that you never clock out of. God always uses us in everything that we do, and whether you have a completely separate job, you know, God can still use you in the church and in ministries. whether you are directly working in the church, doing those things that we mentioned about volunteering or cleaning or whatever, or you're out there witnessing and ministering to people, working at a soup kitchen, or I mean, there's a million things that we can do to witness and to follow God's commands and to help others in need with what he's given us. John 5:17, Jesus says, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." So God himself is never idle. God is working. And through Christ, we see that the diligent work is not just a human expectation, but a divine attribute. We know that God wants us to work hard and do a good job in everything we do to honor him. And we also know that in Romans 8:28, says, "For those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose." And of course, the end of that, you know, God has given us the Sabbath day, right? He showed us right from creation that on the seventh day he rested. And he gave that to us as well through the commandments. And throughout the Bible, it makes it clear that we should take time to rest and during that Sabbath to focus on him, to worship him, you know, to come together, to not worry about laboring at whatever jobs we have, but to use that time to rest and to focus on him. And during that time, we're reflecting and remembering some of these things that say, okay, you need to maybe dial back this and focus more on God. You need to pray more. You know, when I was in England, I got really sick at a time, and I had to basically just kind of lay around for a month or two. I was really sick. They did spinal taps on me and all sorts of stuff, and that made it worse. But during that time, I knew that, you know, I had a Kindle. I actually got me a Kindle. They were popular at the time. I don't know if they still sell them or not, but it was a Kindle Paperwhite, and I had the Bible on it. And I read the Bible all the way through, and, you know, several study guides. I read all of the Left Behind series, although I don't know, that's kind of got some creative liberties in it. But during the times where we may feel like, you know, we're down or we're struggling or we're facing those difficulties, you know, God, like I said, God uses those times to shape us, and it's how we react to those. If we commit ourselves, commit our everything to God, then he's going to use that. We can roll that onto him. We can cast those cares onto him, and he'll take care of us. He'll show us what we need to do, where we need to be, and how we need to live, and to focus on the things that are, really matter, you know, not the day-to-day, but the eternal. That's all I've got here. So thank you guys for listening to me.